and the shroud they call from Turin. The linen cloth that wrapped his body bears his body image. I don't know how it got there. It really doesn't matter. They may not be able to scientifically prove anything by it, whether he raised from the dead or not, but it certainly is suggestive. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, verse 7. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. If thou be the Christ, come down off the cross. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening, roaring lion. The chief priests, the elders, the lions of the people, the leaders, the great men, the strong men, all gathered against him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Do you understand the way crucifixion, what it does to the body, as the gravity pulls and pulls, and the bones are pulled and pulled. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. All the feelings that must be felt as you hang there. Everything within you melting, and the thirst and the feeling. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Dogs have compassed me. You know, Jesus called the heathen dogs. It is not fit to give the children's meat to dogs. The Romans have all surrounded him to crucify him as well. Verse 17, that I may tell all my bones. Not a bone of him was broken. They look, they stare at me. They part my garments among them and cast lots on my clothes. They parted his vesture among them. They cast lots for them. They gambled for his clothing. 1,000 years before he was crucified, this was known. I mean, it's easy to say, well, you know, they read this and then they wrote their gospel so they would match this. But they manufactured the Shroud of Turin that it would match this. That's what I want to know. Because we can't replicate it with all our technology, not yet at least, right? How did these first century illiterate fishermen do something like that? It certainly is suggestive, isn't it? And then the scientists who have studied it, like Alan Wanger, they've looked at it with the polarized lenses and explored it and found dice. The dice used to gamble for his clothing. Because the wealthy Joseph of Arimathea, apparently, not only buried Jesus in this linen cloth, but actually took everything connected with his crucifixion and buried it with him. And that would be according to Jewish custom, because anything that had the blood on it would be buried with the man, because it was part of him. The nails are there. The whip, he got the whip. I mean, he got the whip. And they had put an amulet on him, a Roman amulet, to sort of signify as a mock of the chief priest's breastplate. Who knows? Bizarre things. But they're all present there. Very few people know of all this. But it's there. It speaks from history. Be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only one, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the bulls, for thou hast heard me. I changed the order there because the sequence is a little out of order in the English. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. It's the deliver me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the bulls. And then the clause, for thou hast heard me, belongs with verse 22. And I'm not going to read the rest of the psalm. But you can see in the psalm also the shadows of the resurrection, the hints at what would come. But read again, Luke. The correlation of all those things, the way they mocked him, the things they said, the things they did, it was all told before, and it was all fulfilled. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say to thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The reason I read it that way, notice I said, Verily I say to thee today, because there's no punctuation in Greek. And this passage represents basically a tradition that has crept into the text that has caused it to be punctuated improperly, to give the wrong impression about death. For one, we have other scriptures that rule this out categorically. Jesus' soul was not left in hell. Jesus, the man, went into his grave. Now, when he gave up the ghost, as he's about to, his spirit returns to God. But the spirit of the man is not the man. The man himself, when Christ was raised, he said, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. He hadn't gone up yet. Jesus that day was not going to paradise. He was going into the grave. He was going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights, as it is written. He wasn't going to be in paradise for 3 days and three nights. He was going into the grave for 3 days and three nights. You can't take a single passage like this, or the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, and overthrow all the teaching of the scripture as far as what happens to the dead. When you die, you don't go to paradise. You go into the grave, and you wait for the resurrection. And you may not perceive the passage of time, because there's no thoughts in the grave. Your thoughts all perish. So it may seem like when you die, the next thing you know, it's paradise. And you don't sit there like waiting in darkness or something with a consciousness. Your thoughts perish. You have no thoughts, no feelings, no anger, no hatred, no nothing. It's according to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's funny, the people will quote Ecclesiastes chapter 12 where it says the spirit returns to God who gave it, but they'll ignore the other places in Ecclesiastes where it makes it clear that the dead don't know anything. The dead know not anything. The dead men. David is not ascended into the heavens. Why would this guy go to paradise and David not? And we know he's going to be in paradise. He's going to be in the kingdom of God. Paradise, you know, is Revelation chapter 2. It says, Him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Then you read in chapter 22 of the new heavens and the new earth,